I want to start a little bit with just who I am. I've done these finance, or at least the team has done finance breakouts in the past, but I just realized we never really take the time to introduce ourselves, and I'm going to make, at our Q&A, we're going to do the same thing. So my name is Katrina, and I have been interested in finances from, I don't know, the time I was born. I feel like I've always loved finances. So it's been a passion of mine. My parents instilled it in me at a very early age that they instilled certain things like giving, and I had a retirement account when I was 7, I think, you know, like I had to put my own allowances and whatnot into and different things. So a lot of that growing up, obviously I just did it because my parents told me I had to do it. And so I did 10, 10, 80. I got to live off of 80% of anything I got. And, then when we got to high school, my parents' rule was that, I had an older brother, so I got to see what he was going to get first, you know. And then I got to high school and we got $20 a week we had off-campus lunches. I'm from Kingsburg, so small town. So we got to leave, you know, every day, even as freshmen, you got to leave small town. You can walk to lunch. So, I got $20 every week, but my parents, we didn't really get allowance growing up. So it was $20 every week. And, you could use that for your lunch, like my brother did. So he went somewhere every day, 5 days a week for lunch, spent all $20, or if you were the little sister, you went home because you still live in a small town. You can get home quick. You can make a PB&J and then you can pocket the $20 and you're actually becoming rich off your parents. So, well, rich when you're a freshman in high school is 20 bucks a month. So, you know, that was just my personality. I think a lot of it really did come down to my parents didn't tell me to do that. They didn't encourage me to do that. They said, go out and eat. What are you doing? You know, but I would rally a couple of friends and we would go back to my house, be like, I'll make all of you PB&J if you come hang out with me and we'll eat at my house and not go out for lunch. And then it came to the weekend, and if I wanted to go shopping or, you know, go out to the movies, usually my brother got left at home begging for money and I had 20 bucks I could spend. So that was kind of my mostly personality that played into it. And then obviously I have to give credit to my parents. They definitely raised me to do certain things. Then when I got into high school, that was for about the first 3 years that happened. Then when I was a senior in high school, I actually moved out, was kind of tired of the small town thing. So I moved up here to Fresno, finishing my senior year. So I commuted back for high school, but was taking mostly college classes and just, I actually had started going to the Well at that time. It was a college group. I was kind of just over high school, wanted to grow up. And so, I got a house with some girls, so I got to experience what it felt like to pay rent and PG&E and all that. But discovered that even at, you know, age 17, I actually really liked it. I liked the responsibility of the money. And so I, you know, did different things. I realized within 2 months, I got a job, you know, and realized within 2 months that I had to get a budget because, you know, my rent was so much and then I had PG&E and I needed to pay for internet now because I was going to be going to Fresno State and, you know, I needed internet at my house. And so, I had to, you know, figure that out. So I decided to just try a budget. I did it by hand on a little piece of paper every day. I entered everything. It was so funny, really. But, you know, that was the only way I knew what to do. And so then I was like, gosh, this is complicated. I feel like, you know, I felt like I was on track, but I didn't know how to do it. So I started researching. What is it? What kind of budgets could I set up? What could I do? Should I do it on the computer? Can I continue doing it by hand? You know, should I be doing stuff with a credit card or ATM cards or, you know, cash only? I don't know. And so, I just started reading a lot because it was something I was obviously interested in from an early age. And so that's kind of where my story starts. So yes, I'm only 24 years old now, so don't have a long life of history. But the area that I realized that I became most passionate about was the one we're going to talk about today. It's on the stewardship part. I loved the fact that I felt even at 17 with the, I remember I made $200 a week at like, that was like when I made it. I remember when I started making $200 a week. That was a lot of money. And so I remember thinking, you know, at least with the 200, I feel like I'm stewarding it. I don't know what that looks like. I wasn't giving very much. I wasn't being very generous, but at least I knew I wasn't going in debt. And I felt like at 17, that's an accomplishment. And so that kind of got me excited about this topic. And as you guys know, now we have a finance team at the Well that I'm a part of. But to be honest, everyone else on my team has like a billion more years and just life experience. So they have a lot of the smarts behind the team. But this is the one area that I'm probably the most passionate about. And so I just wanted to take time to discuss it. We actually took a survey a few months ago. We've done a couple, and the number one topic that people wanted to hear was budgeting and debt management. Those were like the two, like everyone wanted those to be discussed. So we did those at the last Guild. You can actually listen to them on podcast. They were done really well and gave a lot of information. And then the second highest thing was, stewardship, the biblical perspective of finances. That was kind of the next, I guess, hot topic. And so we decided we would take the time this Guild and discuss it. The reason I think that I love this team and I love this area is that finances, there's no one that it doesn't affect. So every person has to deal with finances. It's just part of our survival. And even though we've got this team that I feel could answer probably, I feel like our team has everything covered. I feel like they're a great team. So they could probably answer any finance question we get. If we don't start with this foundation, it's kind of pointless. So we could sit down with you. There's someone on my team that could help you get out of debt. They could help you, you know, get a house. They could help you do all these things. But great. If you don't know what you're doing, you know, as far as stewardship goes, then I don't think it even matters. That's kind of beside the point. So I really want to dive into today just how much more this can be. It can be a bigger experience than I think we sometimes make it. My favorite quote, maybe one of my favorites, from Larry Burkett. If you guys don't know, Larry Burkett has done tons of finance stuff. That's what he's known for, right? He started Crown Ministries. Most people know what Crown Ministries is. So he's done a lot of great things. My parents actually talk about growing up with parents that were working on these things. We used to call it, they used to say Larry's moving in. That was like code that they're getting on their budget or whatever, or they're doing Crown or they're doing something. So I remember thinking, oh man, Larry moved in. Then we couldn't get what we wanted always, or, you know, they were a little more stingy on eating out or something. So I've known Larry for a long time, it feels like. But one of his quotes is, God's freedom cannot be experienced in the area of finances unless one acknowledges God's ownership over everything and accepts the role of a steward, surrenders the first part back to God, and seeks the reason God supplies him with a surplus above his own basic needs. I think that that honestly sums up a lot of what we're going to talk about. I think that I love the perspective that we have to accept the role of a steward and that God owns it all, and that he's given us more than we need, and he's allowing us to do with that what, you know, he's called us to. I think, you know, it's stewardship is just one of those things that churches throw out. You need to be a good steward. Okay. Great, you know, just like you need to pray or you need to do these things. But what is it? Like, what is there a way to mark if you're being a good steward? Is there, how do you know that you're being a good steward? So I want to start with, you know, what's the purpose of being a good steward? Why does God even call us to this? You know, why do we worry about it, stress about it? There's some facts that I really like that you guys may have heard before. The different things about kind of references to the Bible. So the Bible contains approximately 500 references to prayer and 500 references to faith, but contains over 2,000 to money and possessions. 16 of the 38 parables deal with money or possessions. And Jesus speaks more about money and possessions than he did about heaven and hell combined. So, you know, obviously eternity is a big part of the Christian life and, you know, heaven and hell, but yet throughout the Bible, he talks more about money and possessions because from the beginning of time, it's been an issue. You see it in the Old Testament, you see it in the New Testament. We definitely deal with it today. So it's obviously important to God. I think that it's a shame for us to not put as much emphasis on it because it was very clear in the scriptures that this is something that, you know, from the beginning of time has been something we've had to, you know, worry about. And Jesus had to, you know, use parables to help people understand. With that said, you know, what's the purpose of being a good steward? I like to just think, you know, why, what's the purpose? Why did God design it this way? He could have designed the world any way he wanted. Why did he design it in such a way that, you know, in the old times he gave them more possessions? So you had certain things that you had to give, and now we have more money that we deal with. I think that part of it is that it shows God, it gives us something for him to trust back. So we're able to show our trust when we deal with the money, right? And so It's a good way for us to show that we believe, we truly believe that everything belongs to God, because he chooses to give and take away. So as many of us have probably figured out, you know, God changes our circumstances all the time. And I think that it offers perspective. You know, whose money is it? I think that this is a good way for God to show, look, I really actually am in control. And here's another way. He does that in many areas of our life, but this is just another way that he shows us that he's actually in control. A couple of verses that are some of my favorites. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to make wealth. And Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. I think the perspective is just the key to stewardship. Just remembering that you don't even have the power to make money. You don't have the power to buy things. You don't have the wisdom, the, you know, wits, nothing that can earn you anything in this world. God gave you the talents he gave you that earned the paycheck that you get. You know, everything comes down to what the Lord has given us. And at the end of the day, he owns it all. So I love that in Psalms where it says the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. I think another reason that God has instructed us to be good stewards is because it's a spiritual discipline. I think that there are certain things he wants us to do because they're good for us, just like our parents used to make us do certain things because they're good for us. I think he calls us to pray. He calls us to worship. He calls us to read the Bible. These are all things that we would, I'm hoping, all agree that God has just said, you need to do these things. It's part of having a relationship with him. And money is one of them. He's saying you need to be good stewards, and he wants to entrust us, but he also is saying this is a responsibility I've given you all. I think it also honors the Lord. When we get finances, we're able to really show our honor to God, and I think that that's a beautiful picture of, you know, how we feel about him. It says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So I think the last thing I'm going to touch on is just that it puts trust in the Lord. I think that too often we don't want to give our first fruits, and we'll get into this stuff in a second, but I think it's important for us to remember that we do need to trust him. So even when it's hard to cut the check or to, you know, give the certain things away, I think that that's what God's called us to, because he wants us to be able to interact, and that there is a level of trust there. So the fun stuff, how to give, that's the kind of stuff that I asked the pastors actually over the last month or so. I asked them, okay, what questions do you guys get all the time when it comes to stewardship? They do premarital counselings, and one of the things they do is they discuss finances, and so in that they discuss stewardship. So they said, definitely, hands down, the questions they all get are, how much do I give? Who do I give it to? And kind of an underlying question, who's responsible for giving? Like, do I have to give? Is that something I'm actually, you know, expected to do? So I'm going to give some facts, because I think that that's the place that we should always start. How much do I give? Looking at the Bible, the Old Testament was very clear. It was a tenth. It says it all over Scripture. It was a tenth was your tithe. And then you hear the concept of an offering that was above and beyond. Back then, they had things like, you have 10 cows, you give one cow away, right? Like, there, it was more tangible items. But even with money, it was, you were always called to give a tenth. You were always called to give your first fruits. That's a calling that they were given in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we were always called to give our best, right? So you couldn't give your defective, you know, lamb. You had to give the best lamb you had of your first fruits. It had to come right off the top. Another thing we know, a fact about giving, is that you can't outgive God. And so in Luke 6:38 says, God has promised, this is paraphrase, God has promised that if we give, it will be given back to us, pressed down and shaken over. And I think that we overlook that. Like, is that really what God wants to do? But he does. He's very clear that you cannot give him. He wants you to try. He even, you know, says, go ahead, try to outgive me, and I'll, you know, I'm going to bless you for that. When it comes to who to give to, the Old and New Testament are the same. It says to give to your local church body, 1 Corinthians 9:14. You see it a lot in the Old Testament, so you're probably familiar with that portion, giving to the priests and whatnot. In 1 Corinthians, though, in the New Testament, it also talks about giving to your local church body. I used to, when I first started, I'm actually on staff at The Well, and so when I first started, my position was the finances. I took care of the corporate finances, which, just to clear up, actually, is very separate from our finance team. Some people get blur the lines a little bit. They're actually completely separate. Holly is now in charge of our finances. And she has actually nothing to do with our finance team. We have them separate for a reason. The church finances are different. We don't want to intermingle the two. This is personal finance. This is, you know, just what's going on in your own personal, you know, your budgeting or that. You know, we're not concerned as much with the church finances. But I'm no longer in that role, which I appreciate, in that I feel like I can have these discussions a little bit more openly. But I, being from that world and kind of getting the opportunity for 2 years to see how a church operates in their money, and I haven't seen a lot. My dad's a pastor, so I've heard how their church operates and stuff. So I've been around it enough to know how churches function. At least I'd say I've had a pretty healthy view. I know there's some really unhealthy views. But I would say that the 2 years I had working on the Wells finances gave me a really healthy perspective. And I didn't always understand what's the purpose of giving to the church. And then I got to see this whole picture. And so, you know, I want to take the time to kind of bring you guys into that, because I think we do miss it. Unless you're in Holly's world every day, you kind of don't realize, you know, the way that at least this church functions, which I think is with Extreme Health. We have an elder board that oversees all of our finances. So nothing, first of all, everything is done with, you know, the utmost double custody, you know, trust, everything. We are very particular with our policies. No one's ever left alone with money, that kind of stuff. So, you know, everyone's hands are always clean. That's important. But the elders take a great deal of time to look at our finances, and they review them, not, they review them largely annually, but then every month they get reports on where we're at, and they look through them with detail. They, you know, very, they're very particular on how we're spending our money. Are we, you know, we've committed to certain things. Have we stayed true to those commitments and whatnot? And I think that's important, because if you understand that your church has a system, then I think it's easier to understand why you give to that. And I like, Brad was, we were talking about this the other day, and he was giving an illustration that I think is right on, that, you know, when we feed ourselves, we don't feed one part. We don't get to say, well, I'm going to feed my right arm. That's the part that I want fed today. No, we feed ourselves, and then our body disperses that accordingly to what each thing needs. And I think our elders function in that same manner. They, you know, we give money to the church, right? And then they kind of disperse with what they feel the need is. And our staff has a lot of say in that, the people that are kind of in the trenches. And with the storyboarding system that we have, really anyone who serves has a lot of say in that, because if you storyboard and you explain that, well, this is just where we feel like our team is going, the elders read those and they take them very seriously. And they, in turn, you know, allocate the finances and resources and people appropriately. And I know that these men are prayerful men, so it's nice, at least for me, to have been in that world and got to see that this is why. I used to do things like, well, I'm not going to tithe because I'm going to use that money, and I'm going to, you know, I lead in kids, so I'm going to buy the kids stuff I need. And I thought, you know, that seems reasonable to me. But then I realized when I got in the world that if everyone does that, everyone is feeding their right arm. So, well, this is what's important to me. The kids are important to me, so I'm going to feed the kids because that's the ministry I care about. And it's easy to see that. And I totally understand where that comes from, because I did it for a long time. But then I realized, you know, the elders have decided what each ministry needs. So I just need to give to them and trust. And then the blessing is that, just like the Old Testament and the New Testament, the same concept, you have your tithe that, you know, I do feel is called to, you're called to give to your local church, which by all means, I'm using the Well as an example because I've been at the Well and I've seen their finances. I'm not saying to give to the Well. Definitely, you know, give to your home church, wherever you serve, wherever you're invested in. If you want to come just sit on a Sunday night and listen to the Well, you know, listen to the preaching, but it's not really where you're invested, then don't give to the Well. You know, give to your home church. But then there's also this aspect of offering. So I think that it's appropriate to, you know, you've given to your church body, but then a missionary comes across your plate and you just feel called to give to that, or an agency. There's a ton, especially in Fresno, ton of great nonprofit agencies. And I think that we're all called to, you know, look into those and look into our own finances and see if we can give to those as well. As far as who's responsible for giving, this seems like an easy question, but it's surprisingly not. I would say that all believers are responsible. In the Bible, it's very clear that if you are a believer in Christ, that this is just one of your duties. It's just like reading the Bible. It's just like praying. It's just one of the things you do. It even has called the poor, and it has called, I think, the young. I think that being in college doesn't give you an excuse. This is not for your parents to do. So I'm not going to, I'll tithe when I get my first real job. Right now I work at, you know, wherever, Taco Bell. Like, I don't make enough to tithe. You do. I think that everyone does. And I think, unfortunately, by not being a part of it, you're really missing out. I think that that's the thing I hope that people realize, is that this is, you know, it's something that we're called to do. But at the same time, I think you realize how much you benefit from it when you start participating. I don't think that we're called to give based on circumstances. I think that God's been consistent, or he calls us to be consistent. Give of your first fruits, we know that, and give your best at all times. Now, sometimes those things change, right? Sometimes our first fruits become less than they were at another time. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, it's not, well, this month we made that extra purchase, so we'll tithe next month. I don't see that that's anywhere in the scripture. God has called us to be faithful because he's faithful in return. And then teaching it to your children, I think you can start that at a young age. Kids understand. I understood at a young age, not always the reason behind it, but at least I got it. Why I can at least ask questions. Well, why do I have to give to the church? I remember asking that question. I don't want to, you know, I want 100% of my money. And my parents saying, you know, this is a responsibility you have to your church. And it was, you know, two quarters, and great. I didn't necessarily get it, but the practice growing up, as I got older and could understand it, then I was at least prepared to have part of my money taken away. The thing that I would stress more than anything when it comes to how to give is to pray first. You know, seek out the reason, kind of like that quote said, why has God given you what he's given you? We're going to talk about portions and everything. You know, God has given us each a different amount, but why has he given you what he's given you at this, you know, particular time? And is there, you know, anything that you can be stewarding better? There's not an easy answer. There's not just a, well, the Bible says 10%, right? The New Testament doesn't give us that a little bit more clear definition that the Old Testament did. And I think it's vague for a reason. I think that God has said, look, you need to pray about this, you know, pray about what I've given you. You need to definitely give of your first fruits. You need to, you know, challenge your giving. You need to give sacrificially. In Luke 21, 1-4, you see that picture of, it's the story of the poor woman and then some of the more affluent, probably Jews, giving, and they're giving what they have to give, right? Well, I only have to give 10%, so I'm going down to the penny on what I have to give. And this poor woman who has nothing is actually giving percentage-wise more than they're giving. It's a lot less as far as the money's concerned, but to her, it was a sacrifice. And I think God looks at that, and you see in scripture, you know, the other people are being rebuked. Like, I don't want your 10% because you feel good about yourself now that you just cut your check. I want your heart. And this woman over here who has nothing gave way more, and he's way more pleased with her offering than with their by the book offering. And so I think in the New Testament, we're called to just give accordingly. And I think we need to give a couple of thoughts is from our abundance. We live in America. We have abundance. Not everyone has it to the same degree. I recognize that. But we do have a lot more than a lot of other people. And maybe it's not, you know, a six-figure income, but you've got most likely a house or a roof over your head. You've most likely got food on your plate every night. And it's hard for us to even think outside of, well, what can I give? So we're going to get into that, just some of the practical things. And then the final thing I'm going to say is to get involved. Obviously, God doesn't want our money. He doesn't need our money to begin with. And so it's I think we're changing in that as people become more affluent, I think it becomes easier to just cut the check. Well, fine, I did my job. I cut my check. Now I don't have to serve because I'm giving to them. Isn't that count? Like, they've got my money, they've got my resources, they can go do it. But I think God's called us to also get in the trenches ourselves. So I think serving and giving go hand in hand. A couple of verses that I just want to pull out are 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. this is one of my favorite and least favorite verses all at the same time, because I love the beginning. You know, each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, because we are all called to different things. And I like the part, not grudgingly or under compulsion. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us like those, you know, guys to just give what we have to give to, you know, check off the box. He wants our hearts. And then, you know, God does love a cheerful giver. I think that people take that verse sometimes and say, well, I don't feel cheerful, so God wouldn't want me to give. Unfortunately, I don't think that's exactly what the verse is saying. I think God's saying, you know, the first part, do as what's purposed in your heart. So pray about it. Think about it. What does God want you to give? And then get a happy heart. Like, if that's what you're called to, I think that you need to ask God for a happy heart. You need to ask God to make you cheerful. We don't always want to do certain things, but God oftentimes will, you know, open up our hearts to those opportunities to give to a particular organization or to a particular person. And being cheerful sometimes comes afterwards, but I definitely don't think it should be used as a cop-out, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And Deuteronomy 16:17, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So the easy answer to the question, how do I give? As you are able to, according to the blessing that the Lord your God has given you. So that's unfortunately the best answer we got from him was give accordingly. And for all of us, that looks different, which is what kind of makes it complicated. When it comes down to it, giving is definitely something we're called to do. I don't think anyone can deny that. So what we can control is our attitude, our heart towards it. We can control, you know, the emphasis we put on it. Do we care about it? Do we not? And I think we can really control our hearts, not just our wallets. It's really not about the wallets. If that was the one thing that anyone heard, it's not about a particular amount. It's not about, you know, how much you're giving. It's about your heart and just your service back to God. Like the things that were talked about before, it shows that you trust in God. It shows that, you know, you do believe it's his money and that you're willing to hold on to everything with an open hand and say, God can take it all back any second he wants. And you're okay with that because it's his to begin with. Some of the fun stuff. What time does this end? At 11. Oh, 11:15. Okay, great. This is the fun stuff, I think. This is the stuff I like, at least. The part that makes me most excited is the practical things. Because with finances, it seems like, well, if I cut my check, if I pray about it and I feel good, God's called me to this, then is that it? Like, so I'm a good steward if I decide, well, God's called me to 10% and I gave my 10% and I've even give to a missionary. So, hey, more than 10% or whatever. So now I'm done, right? And it can be so much more than that. I think stewardship can play out even daily. So some of the stuff, Doug, do you want to pass out? If you're listening to the podcast, it'll be online. But yeah, pass out that half sheet. These are some things that I'll go over really quick, just some practical thoughts on how to make budgeting a little bit more daily, monthly, weekly, something we can focus on a little more often. I'm going to start with the B word that no one likes, but part of being a good steward, I think, has to do with having a budget. It can look different. I'm not going to say everyone has to have a Quicken, you know, program all completely filled out and, you know, balanced to the penny. But the purpose of a budget, in my opinion, is really to monitor. The stewardship is not just that part that we feel called to, right? It's 100% of our income. So it's not the 10%. I'm going to use that because it's an easy number and should probably be our low ball. That's our baseline if we're given 10%. So let's say we give our 10%. So what the 90% is whatever I want then. God has called us to all of it is his, right? So 10% we just give up, we give back on the top. We just say that goes straight back to God. The 90% is what he's left us to really steward. That's what we get the challenge and the blessing of saying, well, what will I do with this 90%? How is it going to benefit me and others and really be glorifying to God? So I think a budget is the best way to see it. If you have a budget or some way to at least track your spending, I put on there, you know, looking at your credit card statement, your debit statement, your checking book. Although I don't know anyone writes checks anymore, so maybe that's not the best way, but, those are the ways we can look to see how we're spending our money. So if you have, you know, all of your line items are all to Starbucks. Do you feel like that's what God called you to? Like, I don't know, maybe you do, but those are good ways for us to just monitor if the 90% is what we've prayed about. Okay, God, now what's left? What do I do with that? And he's, you know, part of it's going to be your living expenses, but I think he calls us to certain amounts. And so it's just a way to monitor it. This one I know a lot of people fall into is impulse buying. I'm going to say that an easy way to be a steward on a daily basis is to not be an impulse buyer, because God, you know, has given us our portion, and what we do with that, I think he wants us to be smart about it. And so buying things, especially big things, you know, those are the things I'm really concerned about. It doesn't show that we're honoring him with our money, because we're just buying whatever, you know, comes to mind at that moment. An easy way, or a way that I at least try, is to remove temptations. So I don't know about you guys, but I get inundated with catalogs, some of which I really like. And so I flip through them, and things I didn't even know I needed, I now desperately need. And, you know, sometimes you have to just call those companies and say, stop sending me your catalogs. You know, they're smart. They send them to you for a reason. They know that it works, that people buy. Another thing is like window shopping. Or for me, Target shopping. I can go into Target because I need toilet paper. But somehow, $100 later, toilet paper probably forgotten. I have a lot of other things because, you know, you're in there and they market it well. They put the cute stuff in front. And so anything you can do, I think that you're being a great steward if you don't go into Target when you could, or you don't, you know, don't fall into the magazine that you were going to or whatnot. Those are all ways that are showing your stewardship. It's not just, well, I cut my check and I'm done. Another thing I'm going to really stress is debt. Proverbs 22:7 states that the borrower is the lender, or sorry, is the servant to the lender. And Matthew 6:24 states, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Debt has been something that in our society, I think today, is accepted. Like, no one would even question you if you had debt right now. And we've discussed this in other seminars, so I'm not going to really go into it, but there's definitely a difference in debt. There's good debt and there's bad debt. So some people would go as far as to say that even owning a home is not appropriate. I think you need to pray about that and see, you know, if you feel like that's what God's called you to, then definitely honor God in what you are called to. But I'm more talking about consumer debt. What are the things that you're buying that are not in the portion that God gave us? Remember, we've all been given different portions. And so if you've got consumer debt, that means that you took the portion God gave you, and either one of two things happened. You didn't steward it well enough that maybe an emergency or something came up, and so now you've got stuck having to get into, you know, consumer debt. Or you decided for yourself that the portion God gave you wasn't enough, and so you took it upon yourself and the wonderful lending companies we have and said, well, I'd like actually a little bit more of a portion that I didn't necessarily deserve. And it's really obvious. I love the Matthew verse that, you know, you can't serve God and wealth. You can't have it both ways. And if you're tied to a lender, if you're overwhelming, if you have any type of debt, you probably feel it already. Even good debt, like a mortgage, something, you feel tied to them. If you, there will be major consequences if you don't pay these people what they're owed. So we get stuck. Now we're battling. Well, now if God asks us, if you feel the pressure, not really pressure, that's a bad word. If you feel called to now give to another organization, but you're tied to these other people that you owe, you have to give to them, and you can't do what God's now calling you to. So that's why we don't want to get tied up in debt, because you want to have all of your money available for whatever God does in your life. And so you can change it at any point. I mentioned it before, but serving. God definitely doesn't need our money, doesn't want our money. He wants us first and foremost, and he wants our hearts. So being involved is part of this. You can't be a good steward if you're not involved somewhere. Everyone's been given talents, just like your portion. You've been given a certain talent that not other people have, and you've been given a certain personality type that not everyone has. So those are things that you need to steward just like you would with money. Jealousy and contentment are another big one. I think just on a daily basis, Jared was just talking about it in the plenary session, but on a daily basis, we can control our jealousy and our contentment. We can choose to not compare ourselves to others. remember that God, it even says it in scripture, you know, there's different examples of him where he gives certain amounts to different people. He doesn't have to have a reason. It's not because he loves one person more, doesn't love another person. You will always make more money than someone, and you will always make less than someone else. We just need to be okay with that at the end of the day. We need to honor God with our jobs and how, you know, we earn our money, and remember that he's the one that gave us the ability. So he gave some of us abilities to do things that allow us more money, and he gave others of us abilities that we don't make the same monetary amount. It doesn't matter. We just need to be content with that's the portion God gave us. Just like I have to be content with the fact that he gave me the personality that he gave me and that he gave me the talents he gave me. Sometimes I wish I could sing or do something else, and I can't. So I can't. Can I stop? So I think we just need to be okay with what God's given us. Being smart with our spending is another easy way. This kind of tied into the impulse buying, especially big purchases. I think we need to do our research. We need to take the time. God's called us. He's given us this money and has said, go do with it. You know, these are things. It's okay to buy a house. It's okay to buy a car. It's okay to buy things for ourselves. He doesn't want us to necessarily live in a box on a street, but he's also said, be smart, you know, make wise choices. So, you know, talk to other people, get, you know, sound advice on decisions. Don't, you know, try to make decisions, especially big ones, on your own. You need to be smart. It does not show good stewardship when we just go out and make a decision. Well, I'm just going to buy this, or I'm just going to get this service plan, when maybe that's not the best service plan. We need to show that, you know, with what we have, we're going to use it the best we can. And then finally, I just want to really stress that we need to thank God. I think part of this goes back to, you know, the fact that he has designed this in a certain way that allows us to participate. Just like he doesn't need us to win people over for him, right? He doesn't need us for that. He can do it on his own, and he does it on his own. But he said, you know, I'm going to allow my people to get to be a part of this. He wants us to be involved in ministry. So he allows us to witness to others. He allows us to, you know, be involved in that kind of relationship. And the same with money. He allows us to have this money so we can steward it. It's fun. It's fun to know that we get to give back, and it's fun to know that we get to give to others, and in return to steward what we even, you know, give to ourselves, to know that God is pleased at the end of that. And part of that is thanking God for allowing us to participate and for what he's given us. We did a thing once at a women's retreat where we wrote down all of our blessings, and we challenged women to, for the next 30 days, write down your blessings daily, because it might not be that he gave you, you know, a new car every day, but he gave you a spouse or a friend or something every day that is worth noting, because we get a little caught up in what we don't have too often. And if we write down the things that God has already given us, I think it almost expands what we have to steward. You probably have more to steward than you realize. You've got relationships you should be stewarding. You've got, you know, kids you should be stewarding. You've got all these things that we kind of forget, because we don't even realize that those are blessings. We don't even realize that those are provisions that God has given us already. And so just taking the time to really thank God for those things. The final thing, we don't have a ton of time left, is I just wanted to actually give you guys 3x5 cards. Want to do that, Doug? Thank you. Or if you're listening to the podcast, you know, you can just do this on your own. The 3x5 cards, I want you to think of just one practical thing you can do, because I would hate it for everyone to leave and not even, you know, take a few verses and take a few thoughts and then do nothing with it. So maybe write down, it's something for you, so you don't have to share it with us. You know, write down whatever it is. What does it look like for you to be a good steward today or this week? Something in the short future. So it doesn't have to be, well, I'm going to just give more money. That's not necessarily the best answer for you. Maybe for you it's, well, I've got a truck and I have a friend that I know is going to be moving. Maybe I'll lend them my car because they don't have a vehicle like that that they could use. Or, you know, we have a thrift store now. Maybe you realize, there's probably a few closets I could go through and donate some of my surplus of things that we tend to all collect and give those away to a thrift store because someone else could actually benefit from them. Think of just one thing, or 10 things if you can, you know, that you could do right away that would just help you be a better steward. I think more, the more we do that, the more we get to grow closer to God. We get to interact with what God's doing in our lives. And then for those of you that are here today, go ahead and if you have, the next session is going to be a Q&A. So if you have a question that you want asked, like if there's something particular, either about this topic or about any finance topic, we have questions already laid out, but we were going to allow for a few extras if time permits. So go ahead and write down if you want a second card. Doug can pass out a second one because I like to make him walk around again. Write down a question if you have it. Or finally, if you want to meet with someone on the finance team, write down your information and what particular you want to talk about. We kind of have a bunch of specialists. So, and if you're listening to the podcast, you can actually email me. It should be online. If you want to meet with someone, we'd love to sit down and we can either unpack this issue more, look at, you know, your budgets, look at your, you know, how you steward your money, you know, do that with you, or a billion other finance topics we'd be happy to do. All right. Thank you, guys.